Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Psalm 91 said, he who dwells in the secret place, dwells in the secret place. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's go to that place. Come on, let's go to that place. You got to get your mind off of what happened today and what's going on in your life. Come on, get into that place. Lord, I want to go to the secret place. Lord, I want to stay right there and abide under your shadow. Abide under your shadow. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you've been experiencing this week just like tentacles coming around and trying to suffocate the life out of you, just trying to close in on every side, the Lord gave me a word about that. He said, you know what? That is not going to last. You got to get in that place of where Jesus is, where that dwelling place is, and it's going to fall away. It's going to fall away. We fall at your feet, Lord, because when we fall at his feet, all of that has to fall away, right? Come on, we need to tell him, Lord God, we're ready to fall at your feet, Jesus. We fall on our knees, Lord. I will fall on my knees, Lord. I will fall and worship you there, God. I just want to encourage you to do it. That's what we need to do. See, it's not a special prayer, it's a special place. Come on, get in that special place. Will fall at your feet. Come on, at his feet. I will fall at your feet. And I will worship you here. Come on, sing it again. I will fall at your feet. That's where we're going to go. Nothing can come with us. Come on, it's got to fall away. And I will fall. It's a place where the Holy Spirit has brought us. And we've chosen to come. We've chosen to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit into this place. And so, God, we know that when we dwell in that place, oh, God, those tentacles, those things closing in on us cannot come. Oh, God, our past can't get in there. Lord, all of our troubles, they can't get in there, God. And so we choose tonight to just dwell in your presence, to stay right where you are. And so, Father, in this place of worship, in this atmosphere of worship, touch, renew, strengthen, God, invigorate, invest, Lord, lift up. Lord, I pray for those whose hands are heavy, whose head is full of thoughts of destruction and thoughts, oh God, of loss. I speak to their mind, God. I speak to them, God, be renewed in Jesus' name and know that God loves you and God is for you. God, I pray today that we would leave, Lord Jesus, that place of fear and uncertainty and embrace where you are, God. Giving you thanks, Lord. Giving you all the glory, all the honor. For you alone are God. And there's none other, Lord. You alone, hallelujah, you alone are God. We declare you as our King, as our Master. Man, there's a fresh anointing falling in this room right now. I feel it in my own heart. Maybe you bear witness to it. I feel an anointing of God. The presence of the Lord is here. And I pray, God, release joy. Release strength. Release hope. Release hope, Jesus. God, you said hope deferred makes the heart sick. I pray for the hearts whose hope has been deferred. Bring it back, God. Bring it to the forefront. Touch them. Fill them tonight with great hope, great expectancy of what you're going to do, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we'll give you all praise and glory. I just want you, if you can, to reach over to somebody. Put your hand on their shoulder. Now, I just want you to begin praying for them for a minute. And church, I believe the Holy Spirit can stir up in our hearts prophetic prayers. I really do. So let's not just pray like a canned prayer. Lord, bless them, use them, make them, you know, whatever. But let's hear the voice of God tonight. Maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you to pray a specific way. Come on. And I want you to pray that for them prophetically. I just pray the gift of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom would be released in this room tonight, and we pray prophetically over that sister, over that brother, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, because we can hear from God. You hear from God tonight. Your spirit is open. You're hearing from the Lord. Now, maybe you just want to look at that person and say, you know what? I just got to tell you what I feel like God is saying. You know, just minister to him for a minute. Just minister to him for a minute. Say, you know what? I feel like this. Maybe God's not showing you anything, and that's okay. But maybe he is. And if he is, I want you to share that with them. And just release that into their life. Release that into them right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. I know you're doing it, Jesus. I know, Father, you speak to your people, and we can hear your voice, God. And because you said, my sheep know my voice. So, Lord, we release the prophetic prayer and the prophetic utterances into one another's life tonight. And we give you thanks for it, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, some of us, if we're not really like used to just kind of soaking in the presence of the Lord for a minute, just kind of go there with your own spirit. Just say, Lord, I just need you to minister to me tonight. I'm not hearing anything about anybody else. And I just need to hear from you. I just need you to touch me today. And I just want to come into that place. Teach me, Lord, how to be a worshiper. Teach me how to really touch the hem of your garment. And for some of us, it's going to be a battle, because you got to press through the crowd. You got to press through the stuff that's trying to keep you from touching him. You got to press through. And I know from personal experience, that's why I have a certain CD in my car. It's my emergency worship CD. And I put that thing on, and man, I turn it up as high as I can do. And I begin to pray in tongues. And I just say, God, I've got to get to the dwelling place. I've got to get to that secret place. And God will meet you there in a powerful way. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you're still ministering, you go ahead and do that. But let's all stand up. I want you to go ahead and just welcome folks here. Tell them that, you know, you appreciate them, that they're here, and that you want to introduce yourself to them. And maybe we can turn the lights up a little bit. I can't really even see anybody. Maybe give me some more light if you would. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Say, hey, my name is, and who are you? There you go. That's great. That's good. And introduce yourself and ask people how their day went and what's God doing for you and all those kind of things. Amen. Oh, I appreciate you too. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good. You could be seated. Amen. Great to have you here tonight. I wanted to tell you that we had been advertising this night was going to be a vision meeting. And I don't know if I told you that we canceled it. We had to move it into like March. So I'm sorry if you came for that. We're not having it. So I'm going to preach tonight. But my accounting department didn't finish everything, and I didn't want them to be pressured. And I said, look, when you close out the 08 year, you just take your time. When you're done, we'll have the meeting. So that'll be coming up in a couple of weeks, okay? How many were with us on Sunday night? Anybody here? A couple of you? Wow, lots of you. Wow, you guys are like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Woo! Was that a great meeting or what? Bishop Wagner was outstanding. And the way he taught the word of the Lord. Oh my gosh. I just love it. I was so inspired. Judah and Shua. Ooh-wee, that was powerful. You've got to get the CD if you weren't there to hear. I think he preached 2 hours, didn't he? I mean, it was close to it. We looked around. We thought, oh, my gosh, I think 2 hours went by. And it was just like that. The music was tremendous. Our worship team combined, did some worship. We had Leon Timbo there. Alexis Rainbow, if you didn't get a chance to hear her, what a beautiful operatic voice she sang for us. He's got the whole world in his hands. And I was so thankful for that night. It was just a powerful night. And I love Bishop Wagner. You know, he spoke so slow and calm. And then at the end, he kind of like transformed into this. He got loose, man. And I loved it when he said, Jesus. He went, Jesus? You know, kind of like a real high. It was like, wow. And their choir was off the hook. Oh, man, it was great. I loved it. It was a great night and a celebration of Black history that I think will go down in history. It really will. Don't forget, Friday night, we start our first leadership classes again. We're going to be meeting at the Tortorello's house. Is that correct? We're coming. All right. Friday night. And I have a special guest that night. I'm going to have Joseph Oyuki from Uganda here with us. He is my contact person when I go to Uganda. And he has a tremendous ministry over there. And I'm going to bring him with me and let him talk to you a little bit and ask some questions. So that's going to be a good night, for a Friday night. And let's see. Then we do it again on Saturday, but that's in Lorraine. But so anyway, don't forget Friday night. And then Sunday morning, we're going to continue in our series on giving. And boy, I've heard a lot of people respond to me about the working thing, you know. But Sunday, I'm going to preach about the thinking thing. Because some people throw money at God without even thinking about it. And so we're going to talk about our minds. So it's going to be a good time. Tonight, though, we want to receive our offering. If you're bringing tithe, you can do that. That's great. But I want to tell you a little bit. I don't think I've announced it since we started. We're renting this facility. It costs $500 per week. And that's a pretty sizable amount. But yet it helps them and, you know, whatever. So far, we've been able to pay for it every week with the offering, which is great. Anything over that goes totally into the children's ministries on Wednesday night. So you're giving with purpose. You're giving toward not even only helping us pay for this facility, but also to equip our children. We got the t-shirts for the kids and didn't charge parents for it. We're taking it right from the offering. So let's support Wednesday night. Let's grow it. Let the youth group grow. Let everything grow. And we're so thankful to Oak River Church for allowing us to be here. But continue to bless the Lord. Make your checks out to CNC, okay? And we'll receive that tonight by faith. Father, thank you that you have abundantly blessed us. Now, Lord, take this offering. May it be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. May you bless and meet every need of Oak River Church, Lord. Thank you for their hospitality and openness to bring us in. I pray now, Father, of our children's ministry, every worker that's so diligently prepared and anointed to teach the word of God to our kids. Hallelujah. Bless them, Father. Now, Father, we just honor you in our giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Oh, we fall down, we lay your crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. 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 Holy, holy.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jonathan. It's a little oil, I guess, or something, huh? I was thinking about people that are pregnant this week, and so I had to email Ashley and ask her about what happens to pregnant people. I mean, what does doctors tell pregnant people? You know, what do you do that you don't do when you're not, and what don't you not do that you do? You know what I mean? And then I found out all kinds of interesting things. I found out that you're supposed to drink a lot of extra water. I was told you don't eat tuna because it has mercury in it, and that's not good for the baby. I was told you don't take certain medications. You have to be real careful about what you take and don't take. And you can't drink any alcohol, because if you drink alcohol, it's like the child starts drinking alcohol, right? So in other words, whatever you take in, I guess, is this true? Whatever you take in as a woman, the baby takes in? Okay, that is a good thought. So I said, Lord, I got to preach on that. So that's my message tonight, change of status. That's the title of the message. I want you to go to John chapter 1 and verse 12. How many know that, ladies, when you get pregnant, your status changes? Everything changes in your life. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, you know, you look at the Facebook, and I kind of call it Gracebook. You know, all of this communication that we have on the Facebook right now, and when you have your change of status, you have to put everything out there and let your friends know that things are changing in your life. And the Bible says in John 1 and 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become children of God. Now watch this. This is interesting, because not only do you receive him, but now the scripture says, and to those who what? Believe on his name. So there seems to be like a two-part connection here. Not only do you receive the Lord, but you've got to believe on his name. It didn't say believe the Lord. It said believe on his name. It didn't say, well, you believe that he's the Son of God. It said believe on his name. And that's really interesting, because the scriptures tell us that they've been given a name above every other name, right? And we know that at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And so I began to understand about receiving the Lord and the impartation of power that comes to us. Now go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, because in this particular scripture, we begin to see a little more about this. There you go. The Spirit of himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now he said it gives us the authority or the right to become a child of God. And then all of a sudden, God's Spirit begins to bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's a change of status. In other words, before receiving Christ, we weren't children of God, right? But after you receive Christ, you become a child of God. But we don't do it in our own initiative. He said, to as many as receive him, to them he gave the power or the authority to become. Everybody say, to become. Key word in Christendom today is to become. We are becoming. We are in a constant state of transformation. You and I are changing daily. You and I are experiencing new things, and old things are passing away. Now, there are people that, like, say, for example, Luke 17, 25, that rejected Jesus. They didn't receive him. And in chapter 20 and verse 17, the stone that the builders rejected, the coin, he became the cornerstone. So there were many people that rejected Jesus. But those of us that have received him, we have received the power to become sons of God. Now, what does it mean to be a son of God? What does it mean to operate in this power that he's given to us? This authority that he's given to us? And by believing in his name, realizing that the sum of all the truth in John chapter 1, when you begin reading John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And he begins to talk about Jesus. And down into verse 14, he talks about how the Word became flesh and dwells among us. And really, this whole scripture in verse 12 is helping us understand that when you believe on his name, it's the summation of who he is, being God from the very beginning. And we understand the Word being God. So he's really giving us an understanding in theology. But I want to go back to that word for power for a minute. Let me give you a definition. It means this: authority. We've already said that. But watch this: the right to control or govern. the right to control our government. To many as have received Jesus, to them they have given the right to control or govern. Now, the right to control or govern what? The earth and everything in it. I really believe as Christians, we are living too small. And we are living too dominated by things and experiences. When really we ought to be above and not beneath. Right? We ought to be the head and not the tail. But we find ourselves often living and serving God from the bottom up instead of from the top down. Now, let me go on with this definition, because not only does it mean the right to control or govern, it means to have dominion. To many has received him, to them he gave dominion. And also it means this, an area or sphere of jurisdiction. So when you and I receive Christ, he has given us an area or a sphere where we have jurisdiction over. What's your sphere? What jurisdiction are you dominating? See, we need to find that, because that's the place that God wants us to dwell in. That's where we have been assigned. But religion, small thinking, negativity, all these things intercept and interrupt the fact that we are becoming children of God, and to be able to rule and govern and our sphere of jurisdiction, we have authority in it. Now, he goes on to say this. This word power, it means a ruler, whether over human affairs or supernatural affairs. Now, when I began to understand that word, to many as have received him, to them he gave power. I'm starting to think, Lord, wait a minute, we're living way underneath this definition. We're not living to the extent of what you have given us to become a son of God. So if we're not operating in that power or that authority or that sphere of jurisdiction, then it's hard for us to become a son of God. Because that's what it's for. It is the pathway to sonship. And so we've got to learn then, if there is something living in me, I need to change my status. Now go to John chapter 3. I like this scripture. You know it real well. We sometimes see it on football games, John 3:3. But rarely do we really preach out of it. But I'm going to talk about it for a minute. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. This is verse 1 of John chapter 3. A ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God's with them. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now that particular scripture, verse 4, you might want to underline that or write that down if you're taking notes, because that's a key in what we're talking about tonight. Jesus was teaching Nicodemus something more than just a theological position of receiving Christ as your Savior. He was showing him the pathway of becoming. And in verse 4, it is the pathway of becoming this full-fledged child of God, operating in your sphere and your jurisdiction and your rulership and your dominion over what God has assigned you, whether it's human or supernatural. So we go on in verse 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, this new life is a new humanity formed within the womb of the old life. Now follow me. And I'm going to just do a little teaching tonight more than I'm preaching. Maybe I'll kick into preaching in a minute, but I'm going to teach something here. Because when you and I were born again, we entered in as a womb. My life now is a womb. Now, Ashley is carrying a child. And that child is demanding of her body. And now that it's implanted in her, it's using her. Did you know that? That child is using her to become what it has been destined to become based on the genetics of all the chromosomes that came together and what God had written in the book concerning that child's life. In other words, I'm up in here, Mama, I'm up in here, but I'm coming out. And I'm going to demand of you investment in me. Now, in order for me to become, you're going to have to make a change. You're going to have to change what you do. You can't sleep on your back anymore. You got to sleep on your side. You can't lift things over 25 pounds. You got to let Jonathan pick that up. You can't go out to the bar and get up a couple of martinis to kind of take the edge off. Can't do that now. Got to wait till after you have the baby. Oh, Jesus, help us. In case you haven't got my official position on that yet, I am not an advocate of sipping saints. I just want you to know that. If you are a sipping saint, I'll pray for you. But I just wanted you to know that there is an infringement upon who she is because of what has been planted in her. That's what Jesus was teaching in John chapter 3. He was saying to Nicodemus, I am going to tell you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And when you're born again, and Nicodemus says, wait a minute. How can I go back into my mother's womb when I am old? And Jesus said, don't marvel. I'm telling you, you got to be born again. What he was saying is, you're not going back in your mother's womb. I'm going to use you as a womb. And what's in you, Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to carry and you're going to give birth to. Now, this is interesting as we follow through this concept here. I just want you to hold on with me. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Because this is a mystery why things work. For example, why does the heart begin to beat at 3 months? Who turns the switch on? It just happens, right? Why do certain things happen in this pregnancy around 6 months that until you got to the sixth month, it was dormant. But at the sixth month, it became active. And I've just seen, you know, my own wife, that baby inside turning and pushing, and you could see like a little foot coming out here, and it's like, whoa! She said, whoa! I said, what's the matter? Whoo, he's active. He's moving around. Because right now there's no movement. And then when you get closer to the delivery, it's like, I want out. And you could tell, can't you, ladies, when that baby wants out, when it's time. Honey, it's time. What do you mean it's time? It's time. You know what that means. Jonathan, if you don't know what that means, you better learn what that means. When she says, it's time, you've got to go. It takes over. But it's a mystery. Now let me say this. When you're born again, don't ask me how I got money in the bank when I had no money. Don't ask me how I got the job when everybody else was losing a job. I don't know exactly how, why the heart began to beat at 3 months. I just know that it did because it's part of the becoming. And you and I, as born again Christians, are under a mysterious favor of God. And we can expect, as we serve the Lord, for miraculous things to start just kicking in automatically. I don't have to make this work. It just kicks in, man. You know, Ashley don't have to stand over there and say, okay, heart, you got to beat now. It's been 3 months. Come on, push on my belly, get that heart beating. Don't have to do that. And as a believer, you don't have to do that either. You just have to become. You have to allow what's been birthed in you to begin growing. Now, I'm going to get to a point here in a moment, and I'm tempted to go there now, but I'm not going to. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We have it up there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Now, that's interesting to me. Because I'm a new creation now. I've got Jesus in me. It is devouring the womb. It is using my old life and transforming it in the process. And by the time I become the Son of God, there won't be any of Louis left. I'll be gone, totally gone. All will be left is Jesus. You say, well, that's impossible on this side of heaven. That's not impossible. You and I have got to raise the bar and the standard in our Christendom. We have lived too low as a Christian. We've accepted failure. We've accepted our sins. We've accepted our anger. We've accepted it as being part of the package. And I'm saying, when you've been implanted with eternal life, it will begin to consume every part of you. You know what else I found out? I found out that pregnant women, their tastes change. So foods that they liked, suddenly they don't like. And foods they didn't like, now they crave. Interesting, isn't it? It's an amazing thing what the Holy Spirit will do in a person's life that's truly been implanted with eternal life. The things you used to love and crave. You know, huh? Drinks, huh? Come on. What you watch on television, whatever. The stuff you used to crave, all of a sudden now, because you are becoming, you are nauseated by it. And the things you never thought you'd like coming to church on a Wednesday night, what the world am I doing in here? It's like, I can't hardly wait. Oh, it's Wednesday night. I can't hardly wait to get there. Ooh, you mean we got leadership class Friday night? Wow, I can't hardly wait to get there. Whoa. Man, what's the matter with you? I don't know. I'm just starting to crave things I used to despise. That's a sign that you are becoming a son of God. You see, once we're born again, your life enters into the transformation process, and it utilizes the old life as a womb, and this separation begins. There's a pulling that takes place, a tearing away. You're gravitating to the new. Now, as I'm saying that, you may be thinking, well, you know, I don't know that I'm really, I mean, I did experience that at first, but I'm not really experiencing that right now. Ah, diagnosed the problem. It should never cease. But here's what we think. We think we can take anything we want to and not hurt the baby. We can get high on crack cocaine and don't really care whether the baby comes out as a crack baby or not. We can take our drinks. We can do what we want. We can watch any kind of pornography that we want to. We can involve ourselves in stealing and thievery. We can involve ourselves in corruption. We can do whatever we want because, after all, it's just this natural life. What does it have to do with my spiritual life? I still love Jesus. Nobody's denying you're not pregnant. It's obvious you're pregnant, but what are you doing to the life that's in you? If it's true in the natural, if Lana, as a pregnant woman, took the drink, the baby took the drink, then what about in the spiritual? If you take in the carnality, your spirit, your new life, your eternal life has to deal with the carnality. And it stunts the growth. It deforms the life. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, when you were born in the natural, you were a son of man. But when you were born in the spirit, you became a son of God. Change of status. Before you were born again, your father was the devil. John 8:44. He said, your father is the devil. See, you and I were once from below, but I'm no longer from below. I'm from above. So I'm learning to live differently. I'm learning to live from the position of the throne, because that's where I'm destined for. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. You see, that's where we really are. That's our position. Now, experientially, we may not be there because we are not taking care of the baby. We're not giving birth to the child. I'll guarantee you, Ashley has changed her priorities since becoming pregnant. I haven't talked to her about it, but I'll guarantee you every woman will begin thinking in terms of, how do I protect this baby? How do I give it a future? How do I make sure that it's birthed with the best health care? How can I eat that? Oh, I better not eat that, because if I eat that, I mean, that was good before, but I can't eat that now. I got to get this. I got to take my vitamins. I got to make sure that I'm investing in this, which is alive in me, so it'll come out strong. That's a motherly instinct. So what has happened to the body of Christ? The body of Christ has failed to remember that God has implanted us with eternal life. And we are becoming. It is growing. It is using the old life as a womb to become the transformed mind, the transformed believer. And yet we've been told by carnal Christians, postmodern Christianity, that you can live any old way you want to live and still go to heaven. And I'm not denying that. Go ahead. You probably will. You'll probably give birth to that baby. But just like one of the women in our church who adopted two crack babies. They adopted two crack babies. The mother gave birth. She had two baby girls, twins. But they came out addicted to cocaine. And the mother went on her life. And the state took the babies. And the babies were put up for adoption. Now there's restoration and there's hope of renewal, because these two children now, you'd see them. I forget. There's Shekinah and Glory. Hope and Shekinah. Hope and faith, yeah, they're something like that. They're like Bible. When they come in, it's like Bible. Hey, hope and faith, you know. But I've watched them grow up from the time they were carried in. They're now probably 7 years old. And from a tragic beginning now, they travel all over the country as little starlets. They're in commercials and all kinds of entertainment. People are wanting them because they're like those two little chicks that grew up on the television. I forget their names. Kate and Ashley. Yeah, these are like those two little twins. They look, they're adorable. They come through the door. I'm ready, shaking hands. They walk in. Hi, Pastor! And they grab hold of me and give me a big hug. So there's restoration. There's renewal that God can do in our eternal life. But don't addict your spirit to this world. You know, a lot of times I heard about, you know, clothesline preaching. You know, I've been in this thing over 30 years, and I remember coming into Pentecost. It was like, oh, you can't have long hair, you can't have mustaches, you can't wear skirts. I mean, ladies can't wear pants, you gotta wear skirts. You can't go bowling, can't play cards, you can't do all these things. You think, oh my gosh, what can you do? You can't do anything but go to church. I said, oh my, that's terrible. That's not like no fun. But you know, I want you to know something. That wasn't all bad. Now, it was extreme, and they didn't have understanding, but their heart was right. But today, 30-some years later, we're on the other end of the spectrum. I've got people arguing with me about drinking. People. No, not congregants, pastors. Yeah, I could tell them who they are, and you might know some of them. I'm thinking, okay, now wait a minute. Even if it's permissible in the Bible, why would you want to do it? and risk what's being birthed in you. You get what I'm saying? So, well, I have every right to watch any movie I want to watch. That's true. But why would you put the baby at risk? Why do we feel the liberty to be living on the edge and not think it's going to be consequential at all? Maybe that's why there's no jurisdiction in the sphere of the assignment God's given the local church. Because we're not exercising the power that God has given us. Is this making sense to you? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. I believe that whatever is from above is above all. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you one more time, you are seated with Christ. That means you are above. You are above. You are not beneath, you are above. So I'd like to ask some Christians, you are above that. Why are you living beneath your privilege? Why have you submitted yourself to you're above that? Because the scripture says in Ephesians 2 and 6, whatever is from above is above all. So that means that there's nothing that can overpower me in this earth. That's what it means. The only way it'll overpower me is the way I used to overpower my son. Stand up, Lou. I want you to look at him. 6'2", 245 or 50 pounds or 60 pounds or whatever he is. Big guy. I would overpower him because I was smarter than he was. And I was quicker. I was faster. And I was stronger. For a while. You're right. So we would come together. And I remember we used to box, you know, slap box around. He'd get mad and he'd start closing his hands. He's going fist, you know. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. And I remember one time, this was the last time, that I did this with him. He took his right or left or whatever it was and boom, up here on my rib. And I lost my breath and bruised a rib. And you talk about painful. And I said, he's not a baby anymore. There's a time when you've got to grow up and quit getting pushed around as a child. And as a child in the kingdom, it's time we think about becoming sons. Isaiah 9 talks about the government shall be on his shoulders. In other words, your shoulders are broad enough now to carry this authority on the earth. You and I have got a responsibility. We've got to grow. We are learning the system. We are learning royalty system. That's what church is about. It's teaching the principles. It's the atmosphere of the anointing. So you and I can apply that. Take our vitamins during the week and apply the truth so we can become what God has destined us to become. Our ultimate place is to think, talk, and walk in the realm of dominion. In the realm of dominion. But look at Galatians 4, verses 1 and 2. This is the truth of the church today. Are you ready? Here we go. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a what? Does not differ at all from a what? Now, here's where the postmodern church lives. We are heirs. But our problem is we are children. And because we're still children, we're no different than what? Slaves. Now watch. Though he is a master of all. Next verse. But is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Verse 3. Do I have verse 3? No, just verses 1 and 2. So here's what I'm saying. When you and I are children, when you and I have not become, when you and I have not fed the baby, when we haven't got off milk, 1 Peter, when we haven't got off milk, 1 Peter 2 and 2, the milk of the word. Don't offend me, don't hurt me, don't make me uncomfortable, get me out in 20 minutes, let me have some more coffee and a donut and be on my way. That's fine, but you're going to stay a child. Don't know the word, don't know the anointing, can't identify the power of God, the presence of God, don't know the gifts of the Spirit, don't know how to operate in them, don't know your authority in Christ, don't know your identity in Jesus, don't know what faith is. You're a child. And because you're a child, you are slaves. Slaves to what? Slaves to this world. Slaves to temptation. Slaves to yourself. Slaves to anything in this world. It dominates us. Even though we're to be what? The master of all. So our problem is we need to start eating some of the meat of the Word of God. We need to begin to eat the meat of the Word of God. And as long as you refuse to grow, you will act and live like a servant, not a son. See, that's what I'm concerned about, and you and I should be concerned about for our children. We don't do Wednesday nights so we have a nice club for the kids to attend, although that's good. Programs, camping trips, and projects. That's good. Youth group activities. That there's nothing wrong with that. But if we're not formulating, let me ask you a question. What do you feed a baby? Or formula? And I remember buying that stuff. And it was so expensive. And I thought, man, just breastfeed these kids. Save us some money. Tina said, you breastfeed them and I'll breastfeed them. But formulating. Giving that child the nutrient it needed to become an adult. Every day of our life, child of God, listen, every day of our life ought to be a formulating plan to bring us into sonship. Every day. Okay, God, this is a brand new day. Thank you for the gift that you've given me today. Jesus, I want to become like you today. God, I pray the Holy Spirit, you lead me, guide me, check me where I'm wrong. Holy Spirit, convict me of my carnality or my selfish ways. I thank you today, Father, that I'm going to exercise my jurisdiction in the realm that you've given me, Father. I'm going to press toward becoming today. It's got to be a conscious thought. It's the formulation of becoming a son of God. And Galatians 4 and 1 and 2 tells us it doesn't matter until we grow, we're still enslaved. Now, I believe that we are not to look like the rest of the world. I don't believe we're to be subject to the things in the world. And I don't believe we ought to be ruled by fear. There was a day in my life when nobody was home. I was fearful. Somebody had to stay with me. I needed a babysitter. When I got a little older and I was still fearful, they didn't call them babysitters because they didn't want to hurt my feelings. But the facts were, I need somebody to hang out with me. Don't leave me alone now. Now, I have to say this. I'm not sure how much of an adult you become, you still can be tempted to fear in little ways. Now, this is an example. I wasn't afraid, but I'm going to tell you anyway. My wife had to be gone a couple of days, okay? She had to be gone a couple of days. She's just coming home tonight. And I had to sleep in the house by myself. You say, aw, big deal. Well, I just thought I heard something. I did. I thought I heard something, and I didn't know what it was. Now, when I can identify it, it's like, well, that's no big deal. That was the furnace popping, or that was the tree blowing, or whatever. That's cool. But when I can't identify it, it's like, Jesus? I was like, yeah, I'll tell you that name, brother. It was for a fleeting moment. But can you imagine? Tina said, now, baby, I've got to go for 2 days. I'll be back on Wednesday. Now, I'm going to have so-and-so come over and stay with you so you won't be afraid. Now, what would that look like if the preacher is afraid to stay at home by himself? What would that be like? You say, oh, my, he's dominated by fear. That man is not. As absurd as that is in that example, that's what it is for Christians who allow fear to overtake them. And you know, fear will begin to paint a picture of your destruction. And then you'll begin looking forward to the manifestation of what fear has told you will occur. That's why Job said, what I have feared has come upon me. We become prophets of our own life. We prophesy our future. And so the enemy wants us to fear. So how do we not fear? Is to know that he is our shepherd. And you become a warrior. You become a son of God. And so now you are a person of solutions. Problems don't bother you. When you're a young man, you have to go get advice from dad. When you're a young man and you're growing, you need to get consultation. But when you are grown and your daddy is gone, now you are the consultor. My question in the body of Christ now is, who is going to be left to consult anybody or consult with anyone? Because now it seems like, come on, generally speaking, it seems like we have children raising children. You say, well, that's not true. Well, look at the statistics of the teenage pregnancy in America. And what's true in the natural will be true somewhere in the spiritual. So I'm challenged today to say, God, I give you my life as a womb. I give you my life to be consumed. Take over my life, Jesus. And birth in me this eternal life so that the earth may see Jesus Christ and his power and his splendor. And God, the things that I used to crave, the natural things, the fleshly things, the carnal things, change my appetite. Make me start loving to read the Bible and worshiping and going to church. You know, some of my old friends from high school, when they found out I was a preacher, they couldn't believe it. They were like, you are a preacher? Because they knew my lifestyle. I hung out with them. But I got pregnant. I received Jesus as my Savior. I got the Spirit of God in me, Dave. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it literally transformed my likes and dislikes. I'm beginning now to like what Jesus likes. And I hate what he hates. And suddenly my life is being turned around. So I want us to look tonight to where your jurisdiction is. To where your authority is. And begin operating in it. Take an assessment. What's your intake that is preventing the growth of the eternal life in you? I've had to do that, folks. And then when you can't think of things, just be open to God's voice. Because there was a time, I mean, I feel like after all these years, God, I got this now, and I'm not drinking, smoking, kicking a dog, spitting. I'm not doing any of those things. Holy Spirit said, well, we got to talk about some other things. He begins to put his finger on our heart deep underneath and says, that's offensive to me. Oh, God, I didn't even know I was operating in pride. Oh, can you forgive me? God, I'm so sorry. I didn't see it. Yeah. I just want you to know this is an ongoing process. And when we see him, we shall be like him. But until that time, we're going to begin to continue to move in new things, and old things are going to have to pass away. And child of God, if you're not moving in new things and old things aren't passing away, it might be that you have just reached a point of stalemate and you're now existing as an adolescent, maybe in Christendom, or as a young man, but yet not as an adult. And it's our responsibility to grow as adults because we have children coming behind us. And it's time for us to grow them up in the faith. My heart's desire in our church tonight is that we would have programming that teaches our kids how to pray in faith, how to stand on the Word of God, how to believe Jesus for his truth to come to pass, that we can teach them how to lay hands on the sick, that we can teach them the difference between good and evil, because this world's telling them that good is evil and evil is good. We need to turn it around for them. We need to show them the way. And the only way that we can do that is if we become mature Christians ourselves, because how can we teach something we don't know? So tonight, in closing, let me share this last truth. You have become victimized, not by sickness, not by lack, not by poverty, not by trouble, not by a devil, but by ignorance. As long as the devil can keep us ignorant. I remember teaching my children, and two of them are here sitting on the back row, how to read. Working with them, teaching them how to read. Going through the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I remember them saying it and calling a G a J and an H an O. And I, wait a minute, no, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. And it's painstaking. Do it again. But if we hadn't done that, they wouldn't have reached that point of maturity in their life. There is nothing easy about maturing this internal life that's in you. It's discipline. It's required of us. It takes effort, conscious effort. So sit down and open the book. Get on your knees and cry out to God daily. I've tried to do that this year, every day. Just get on my knees and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you again. I am all of yours. Take me, Jesus. I am here as a conduit for your grace. Help me. Just to remind me of what my purpose is here on this earth. So I want to challenge all of us in that regard tonight. To sit together in heavenly places means that our new birth confers on us the power to ascend to a throne. It's sort of like the prodigal son that came to himself and went, what am I doing here? I pray that we would come to ourselves in this generation. What are we doing here? What are we doing living on this level? I am going to go back to my Father's house. Connected by covenant to the original source of power. And this is what I believe God is going to do in this house and is already doing it. But we're going to see more of it. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, whom God has anointed with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There's something about the security that it brings to a child when dad is home. And what we need in the house of God is fathers. We have many teachers, but we need fathers that we can look to and say, now there is a man of God. And so men, ladies, women, don't be afraid to be an example of a worshiper. Don't be afraid to be an example of standing in faith in adversity. And don't be afraid of telling people the truth when you're hurting or you're fearful. Because you teach me, even though I know you've gone through it, you have overcome it. And if you can do it, then I know that I can do it. And so we have to be real with one another. We have to teach one another. This is our opportunity. It may be our last opportunity in this generation till Jesus comes. I do not want to be standing before the Lord in the spirit as a 17-year-old punk. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to be that. I was that, and I didn't like it back then either. I thought I knew everything. Have you met those kind of Christians? All they need is one good wind of adversity. That'll help them. You know, the ones that think they got so much faith, they don't have any problems. Blow on them, Jesus. I mean, let the devil blow on them. They'll find out real quick. We lived through that. When I heard people about their kids having trouble, I thought, if you prayed with them, took them to church, you wouldn't have trouble. See, you know what I'm talking about. That's not true. But I thought it was. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just went on me. And all of a sudden, my kids had trouble. Now, what are you going to say now, preacher boy? You got it all together. Why are you looking down the nose at everybody else? See, we're just like a bunch of kids. We're like eighth graders, you know. Remember junior high? That's the way church is sometimes. It's like a bunch of junior hires. We're all blaming everybody else, mad at them because they didn't do this, and they talk about that, my boy, that's my boyfriend, and that's, what in the world is this? It's time for us to grow in Jesus. How many want to get that power in him? Amen. Praise God. Let's pray tonight. Thank you, Lord. Father, there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And so tonight, Father, I want to pray in this room, Lord, that every person is born again. And if there be one, Lord, that is not, we pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to their heart and convict them and draw them to Christ. And while their heads are bowed, let me ask that question. Sir, ma'am, if you are that person tonight and you're wondering about eternity, about heaven, and you don't know that you would go there, the Bible says these things were written that you may know that you can have eternal life. The Bible was a love letter written to you from God in heaven, who said he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's right, that's you tonight, whosoever would believe in him, he would not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's an easy thing today to call. So if you're here tonight and you're not sure, or you never have received Christ, nobody looking around, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because you know what? I'm ready to make that choice. I'm ready to make that decision. Just slip your hand up if that's you. I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. Amen. All right. Let's all stand, church. You know, I don't ever want to close a service unless I give somebody an opportunity to know Christ. But I don't want to close a service like this without an opportunity for us to respond. Sometimes when you hear a message like this, you think, well, I knew all that. But you know what? Don't allow it to be head knowledge. Let it to be a heart massage. Let the Holy Spirit just go into our hearts and say, let me turn this over. Let me show you something. So can we take maybe just 2 or 3 minutes? Maybe you want to pray right there. Maybe you want to come around this altar. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, look into my heart. See if there be anything there that maybe I need to work on. Maybe I need to change. And I believe he'll speak to you. Let's do that right now as we worship. Thank you, Lord. At the feet of Jesus. We lay it down right now, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Cry, holy,
I want to be a mature woman of God.
Holy.
Father, tonight as we have meditated for a moment, as we have mused in your presence, I pray, God, that from this moment tonight and onward, that we would change our status and everything that affects us in regards to what we're carrying. Thank you that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are housing the very Spirit of the living God. Ooh, wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's awesome. That is awesome, Lord. Wow. That you would consider us to carry your Spirit. Now, Lord, may I be a good steward of that which is in me. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to become a full, mature son of God. Bless this house tonight, Father. I'm so grateful for every man and woman that's come here. God, I thank you for what you've done for us. You've made a way. You've given us a place to meet here. You've given us a place to meet at Embassy. You're going to give us a permanent place. I know that because you're a faithful God. But God, I just want to thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's come, that has anticipation of the Spirit of God. Just bless them tonight, Lord, and meet every need that they have. For we ask it in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen and amen. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. See you next time. God bless all of you. Drive safe on the way home. At least it's 50 degrees. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. If you need personal prayer for anything, you can come up forward and the altar ministers will pray for you. We've got some elders here as well. So don't ever hesitate to come for prayer. The Lamb. We cry one more time. We cry holy. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We cry holy, holy, holy.
We cry.
We cry holy, holy, holy.
I cry. I cry
holy.
Out of my spirit, I want to praise your name. And out of my spirit, I want to give you glory and honor. And out of my spirit, I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. You are so good to me. I will live for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We go in the presence of the Lord.